that's a wonderful truth.
Amen. Amen. I'm glad I can go in.
Amen.
You say we're all in the family of God and we're all different. Yeah, but we all came through the same door.
Amen.
And I'm glad I can go in. God's got a way that you can't go over. God's got a way that you can't go under. And God's got a way that you can't go around. You must come in at the door.
Amen.
Jesus not a door. He is the door.
Amen.
Yeah, we're one of those exclusive churches. Amen.
Yeah.
And you, I don't know who you are, where you came from, but if you got in the family of God, I know how you got in.
Yeah.
And I'm glad I got in. Amen. Yeah. What a joy it is to be here tonight. You don't go to heaven because you're in church, but I tell you what, if you are in Christ, I tell you, church is a pretty good place to be.
Amen.
You don't go to heaven because you get baptized, but if you're going to heaven, I think you ought to get baptized. Amen.
Yeah.
I tell people, you know, we're all going to heaven that accepted Christ as our Savior. Every single child of God is going to spend eternity in heaven. But if you get plugged into a good independent fundamental Baptist church that preaches the Word of God, you will fly first class. Amen. And so we're all on the plane. If you got saved, you're on the plane. But I ain't trying to sit in coach. I'm trying to fly first class. And I'm thankful that God gives us an opportunity to serve through the local New Testament Church. Thank you, Pastor, for letting me come back. It's always a joy to be here. One of my sons, Kobe, is here. He was at the house. I said, I'm getting down the road. Come on, jump in the car. He dropped what he was doing and jumped in the car. So I'm glad he's here. I'm thankful for the opportunity to be back here at Fellowship. My dad and mom send their love. They've been here a number of times. Say hello. They were traveling back from somewhere else while I was traveling down here. They got home and I was leaving home, but they send their best. And say hello to everyone. Thank you, Pastor Domley, for the message tonight, for reminding us that we can do something when we don't know what to do. And I'm thankful for the precious Word of God, thankful for what God is doing, thankful for the music, and thankful for the opportunity to be at Jubilee. Jubilee is supposed to be a good time. Amen.
Amen.
And I've learned some things about God. Sometimes, in order for me to have a good time, I've got to change some things in my life. And sometimes surgery hurts, but what it produces afterwards is good. Amen. And so we're thankful for the goodness of God. Exodus chapter 21. Exodus chapter number 21. If you'll go there with me in the Word of God. And we'll stand to our feet, if we would, for the reading of God's Word. Exodus chapter number 21. If after a while you're still trying to find Exodus, about now, stop, put your head down, look at the pages, and fake like you found it. Because if you're still looking for Exodus after this long, you got some issues, all right? The first book of the Bible is Genesis, and the second book is Exodus, all right? So get there in the book of Exodus. If you're not there, just pretend. It'll do good for your image. All right, Exodus chapter 21, verse number 1. Now these are the judgments which thou shalt set before them. If thou buy an Hebrew servant, 6 years he shall serve, and in the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. If he came in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master have given him a wife, she have borne him sons and daughters, the wife and her children shall be her masters, and he shall go out by himself. And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free, then his master shall bring him unto the judges. He shall also bring him to the door, or unto the door post, and his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Our Father, we pray now tonight that you would take me as your vessel, cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, fill me with your spirit. Help me to be a blessing. We've come tonight to hear from you. I understand, God, that even though you don't need me, I certainly need you. I pray that you bind the devil, put a hedge of protection about this place, that in no way you hinder the work of the Holy Ghost of God. Lord, we want to leave here different than how we came. We plead your help back home where my wife and the rest of my family is. I pray that you will watch over them and protect them. Now meet with us in this service, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. I can't tell you how many times I hear from people that are working a job, I can't wait until retirement. I've heard people in the church start counting it down. 3 more years, Pastor, and I'm out of here. 2 more years, and I'm done. 1 more year, Pastor, just 1 more year, and I'm finished. I've heard even some of them say, in just a few days, I'm officially retired. And then there are those who perhaps can't retire, but at least they like to work for themselves. That means nobody's telling you what to do. Nobody's calling the shots. Nobody's giving you orders. Nobody's bossing you around. You come in when you want to come in, and you leave when you want to leave. You do what you want to do, and you live how you want to live. Everybody's looking either for retirement or for the opportunity to not work for somebody. In Exodus chapter 21, this guy is altogether different. He's not looking for retirement. He's not looking for a way out. He has that opportunity on the table, and he has his own personal liberty right there in his grasp. Now, for 7 years, he's served, he's labored, he's worked, he's been told what to do. But the law says, in the 7th year, you're free, man. You're free to do what you want to do. You're free to go where you want to go. You're free to say what you want to say. You're free to call your own shots. You're free to live your life how you want to live it. It's yours. From the moment you started, you've been waiting for that day. From the moment you first began, you've looked forward to that opportunity. From the moment your master put you to work, you have longed for freedom. Here it is. And yet, this man has found a spot. This man has found a somebody. He doesn't want to leave. He doesn't want to go. The option is his. The right is his. The choice is his. And yet, with freedom in his grasp, he says, I'll turn down freedom and I'll choose to be faithful. What drives a man to say that? What moves in a man to pass on freedom? I want you to hear this bondservant make this statement with his eyes wide open, fully assured of what he's saying. I want you to hear it tonight. I will not go out free. I will not go out free. Hear him again one more time. I will not go out free. That's a statement that's bold. That's a statement that some would say is pretty ignorant, but no, not for this man. This is a statement that he makes with great pride and great conviction. I will not go out free. You see, he doesn't want to go. He doesn't want his own shots. He doesn't want to make his own decisions. No, he wants to make up his mind to get up every day, day in and day out. Forget freedom. I want to be faithful. I want to tell you in these last days, please hear me, as a pastor, as a parent, as a father, as a child of God, I want to tell you what's gripping the hearts of many of our believers in our churches, what's wrecking the homes of many Christian people, what is annihilating Christianity and true discipleship among the people of God is everybody wants freedom. Everybody wants to call the own shots. I'll tell you why our churches can't do what they need to do, because too many of the members say, I want my own freedom. I want to dress how I want to dress. I want to go where I want to go. It's my social media. It's my mouth. It's my body. I'll tell you why we don't have more young people in Bible college, and many of the up towards 80% are graduating and never coming back to church anymore. You know what they say, when I'm grown, I don't have to come to church. I don't have to read my Bible. I can date who I want to date. I can go where I want to go. I can say what I want to say. I'm sick and tired of mama and daddy and preacher and everybody else telling me what to do. I want my freedom. I'm here to tell you, God's looking for in these last days not some big wig Christian, not some bling bling Christian, not some celebrity Christian. We got enough politicians. We got enough big names. We got enough famous folks. We got enough rich millionaires. I'll tell you what we need is some servants that'll say, I found a spot and I found a somebody. I found something that I want to do. Forget freedom. Forget my own life. Forget calling my own shots. I will not go out free.
Amen. Amen.
I'd like to interview this servant tonight, could we? I'd like to interview him. I'd like to ask him on Monday night of September 2019, why in the world would you pass on freedom, sir? What's wrong with you? This is your time. This is your right. This is your day. This is what you've longed for. Why would you pick faithfulness over freedom? I think if that man were here tonight, the first thing he'd say is, I turned down freedom and I'll grab a hold of faithfulness because I have an incredible master.
Amen.
I wish somebody helped me preach. I have an incredible master. It's written in Exodus 21 to the master that bought a servant. Tell us about your incredible master, sir. I just think I will. I tell you, my incredible master engaged an eager pursuit of me. The Bible says, if thou buy a servant. Now, in order to find a servant, you had to go looking for a servant. I think the servant was saying, he made an eager pursuit of me. His searching prerogative brought me to being a spotted person. He found me when I couldn't find him. He made an eager pursuit of me. Then he made an extensive purchase of me. He bought me. He perceived potential in me that I couldn't see in myself. He paid the price for me that I couldn't pay myself. He not only made an eager pursuit of me, he not only made an expensive purchase of me, but he has given me extensive provisions. What do you mean? He's given me adequate food. Can't you tell I eat good? He's given me an abundant fortune. I got way more than I ever had. He's given me an amazing family. I sure do enjoy them. And he's given me amazing fulfillment. When I hang with him, I don't want for anything. Why would I take freedom when I got all that?
Right.
Maybe you missed the application tonight. So in case you did, I'll bring it to your face where you can't miss it. We have an incredible master. I said we have an incredible master that made an eager pursuit of us. I'm glad when there wasn't a rose red enough and there wasn't a lamb white enough and there wasn't a man good enough, that God sent forth his son, made of a woman made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. I'm glad when I was so dead that I couldn't do anything, I'm glad he came looking for me. I'm glad he didn't see me as how I was, but he saw me as who I could be after he met me. I'm glad he paid the price. For as much as you know, you're not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from the vain conversation received by the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. For he, speaking of the Father, hath made him, speaking of the Son, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I'm glad that when the devil thought he had me and
sin thought it controlled me and hell thought I was headed for, I'm glad he looked beyond my fault and he saw my need and he purchased me with his blood.
But then he's given extensive provision to me. I'm glad he gives me adequate food. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. I'm glad, my friend, he gives me abundant fortune. Oh, I got more than I ever had. Amen. The unsearchable riches of his grace. I'm glad he's given me, Brother Dave, an amazing family. I'm glad he's given me awesome fulfillment. I'm telling you, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I'm saying, why would you want freedom when you got a fortune? Why would you want freedom when you got a family? Why would you want freedom when you got faith? Why would you want freedom when you got food? Why would you want freedom when you got favor? I'll tell you why. I'll turn down freedom and I'll choose faithfulness. I have an incredible master.
Amen.
Is that all you got? No, 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 no. I got more to tell you. Why won't you take freedom? Well, I not only have an incredible master, but I have an intense motivation. Really? Yeah, there's something going on in me that won't let me leave. Somebody help me preach. There's something going on in me that got me staying. There's something that starts at the sole of my feet and travels all the way up the crown of my head. It won't let me go out of here. I got to stay. I got to stay. Tell us about that intense motivation. Well, I have sincere devotion. I've got a sensible decision. I've got a stated declaration. What do you mean sincere devotion? He said, I love. I've got a sensible decision. If I leave, watch this now. If I leave my master, I can only take with me what I had when he found me. Somebody help me preach. I can only take with me what I had when he found me. And in case you've gotten so saved that you forgot what loss was like, when he found you, you ain't have nothing. When he found you, you were nothing. When he found you, you wasn't doing nothing. All your righteousness are as filthy rags. So go ahead with your bad self. If you want to leave, just make sure you don't take nothing but what you had when he found you. Turning down freedom's not only spiritual, it's sensible.
Amen.
I love my master. Did you hear him? I tell you why I got to stay. I love my master. Come on now. I love my master. Oh yeah, long after your parents quit making you come to church, you'll keep coming if you love your master. Long after them bones can't knock on doors, you'll keep loving God if you love your master. Long after you're retired and you can't give at the level that you used to give, you'll keep giving where you give if you love your master. Long after doors been slammed in your face and people think you're crazy and blood relatives think you've signed up for a cult, you'll keep telling them about Jesus if you love your master. Long after they take prayer out of schools and the Bible out of the classroom, you'll still keep Jesus in the school and in the classroom because you're in the classroom if you love your master. I'm telling you, the choir and the pews and the class and the decoration and the calls from the brethren and all of the encouragement, that won't keep you serving God. But I'll tell you, will it last any bad legislation? Will it last any shifting paradigm? Will it last any changing trend? Will it last any godless society? When everything else fails, you'll keep serving God if you love your master.
Amen.
I'm not asking you if you like church. I'm asking if you love Jesus. Because a lot of folks that we thought would never quit, quit. Because they were serving for the wrong reason. An intense motivation. An incredible master. Number three, and I'm done. You serious? It's the seventh year, man. You sure you don't want freedom? No, sir. I've got an incredible master. I've got an intense motivation. But watch this here. I'm so serious about this thing, Pastor Freeman. I'll take an identifying mark. Oh. Hey, man. You in? That's what I said.
You ain't leaving? You must not heard me. You don't want freedom? No, no, I want faithfulness. Well, rest assured, in order to stay and not leave, you have to have an owned prerogative. Notice he said, I will not. In other words, nobody can make the choice for you. I'm glad your husband's here, but he can't serve God for you. I'm glad your wife's here, but she can't choose whether you serve God. Thank God for godly parents, but they can't choose whether you serve God. They can choose whether you live in their house or not. Amen. I was one of them drug babies. I was drugged to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I don't know where this new age Christianity comes where you start asking the kids if they want to come to church. No, 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 no. You live here, you going. I can't make you go to the altar. I can't make you accept the message. I can't make you respond to conviction. I can't make you listen to the Holy Ghost. I can't make you love church. But as long as I'm paying the mortgage around here, you better get your blessed assurance up off that bed and come on to church. But that won't make you serve your master. I'm telling you what, we need some Christians in 2019 that will own their prerogative. Say, I'm serving God because I will serve God. I love God because I will love God. I'm faithful to God because I will be faithful to God. I've aligned my will with his will. I've aligned my choice with his choice. I've made up my mind with his made up mind. I'm living my life as he wants me to live it. I ain't serving because I have to. I'm not serving because I'm made to. I'm not serving because I don't want the pastor to call my house or the church member to blow my phone up. I'm serving God because I choose to.
It's up to you, buddy. Owned prerogative. You sure about it? I sure am. Okay. And come here then. Because if you have an owned prerogative about serving your master, step number two, open publicity.
My man, can I talk to you for a minute? Come here. Yeah. I'm staying. I'm serving. I'm not leaving. I'm not taking my freedom. I'm in, and I make no bones about it. But could you do me a favor? Could we keep this little exchange between us? I mean, I'm telling you. My plan is to stick with my master for good. But do you have to broadcast it? Watch this. Does everybody have to know I turned down freedom? I mean, you're not going to go tell everybody in town that I passed on retirement to keep working this job for that man, are you? No, but sir, we're just trying to tell you, this is one of the decisions that when you make it, it immediately and automatically becomes public record. I'm telling, we need some Christians to get out of the witness protection plan and let it be known everywhere they go. I love my master. I love my master. Some of you can say it in church, but you won't say it on Instagram. Some of you can say it in church, but you won't say it at the cubicle. Some of you can say it in church, but you won't say it at the family reunion. Some of you can say it in church, but you won't say it checking out at the register. Some of you can say it in church, but you won't say it to your doctor or dentist. Some of you can say it in church, but you won't say it to someone with a hood on that looks like a Muslim. I'm here to tell you, when you make this choice to serve your master, come on down to the courthouse, come on down to the judges, come on down where everybody knows this is not a private decision. Come out the closet, let it be known, put down your alias, stop using your disguise, get out of your costume, bust the seams wide open and say, extra, extra, read all about it. I love my master.
I'm wondering, preacher, if there were ever any times during this process where some who had agreed to serve up to this point got to the public part and said, on second thought, now that I think about it, you mean I gotta go to the courthouse and say it? Never mind, I'll take my freedom. Because I'm finding out that there are a lot of Christians that will serve God until they have to make it public. Okay. So you're serious? Yeah, own prerogative. So you're serious? Yeah, open publicity. Oh. So you're serious? I told you I was. Obvious pain. Come on over here and bring your ear with you. Put it up to the post. Hey, buddy over there, bring that hammer. And get that spiked awl. And put a hole in his ear. Mark him. Mark him. Hey, buddy, you want to serve your master? It's going to require some pain. I'm wondering if there's anybody in the building who'll take the mark. Anybody here that loves God enough to lose some friends? What is a young person here that loves God enough to engage a breakup? Loves God enough to turn down a scholarship? Loves God enough to lose a starting position on the ball team because you won't practice on Wednesday night? Loves God enough to find a new job? Come on. Loves God enough to ship your kids off to the mission field? Loves God enough to pass on the acceptance letter into that Division I school and head off to buy? I'm telling you, enough of this Christianity that wants to be pain-free. Obvious pain. And then occupational permanence. Oh, you in? You take the mark? Oh, look here. This isn't fine print. This is written in bold. You must serve him forever. I wonder if there's anybody that signed up to serve God with no possibility of retirement. I have decided to follow Jesus. Amen. No turning back. Amen. Let the storms come, I'm serving him. Let the trials come, I'm serving him. Let the difficulties come, I'm serving him. Let the criticism come, I'm serving him. Let the church split come, I'm serving him. Let the money get funny, let the friends get few. Let the stress get high, let the waves start rumbling, let the lightning start flashing, let the crises show up back to back. I will serve him forever. Maybe there's a single adult in the building. You've taken the mark. You're looking for a spouse, aren't you?
How am I going to find a spouse in 2019? It's so hard out here to find a spouse. eHarmony.com. Christian Mingle.
I'm glad I don't have to get married in 2019. They don't seem to make them like they used to. And yet here you all are right here. You got to find a spouse in 2019 in this crazy world. You've taken the mark. Could I tell you, you just keep looking. And it won't be hard to spot somebody else with that same mark. I still remember as a young preacher boy, a pastor's son going down to Laverne, Alabama. A city in Alabama, I didn't know where it was. I've been there one time and I still don't know where it was. I've been there once, never been back. My wife been there once and never been back. But both of us was there on our once at the same night. Come on now. And she got up to sing with her family. Her daddy was a pastor. She got up to sing with her family. Brethren, we have met to worship. I saw that godly, modestly dressed, virtuous woman up there singing with her parents with a submissive attitude. I watched how she walked down off the platform with a spirit that was unassuming, with an attitude that looked like it came straight out of Proverbs 31. I went to Atlanta a few months later, saw her again. She had that same glow about her. A few months later, saw her again. She had that same glow about her. After a while, preacher, I started realizing. I looked at her ear. I said, oh my goodness, she got that same mark I got. We got married. Come on. Hey, you looking for a good church? It won't be long. Listen, it'd be way before the preacher ever get up. The choir starts singing about three words. The preacher start reading about five sentences. And you'll be able to tell from about five sentences into that preacher's message, about five words into that choir singing. It won't be the lights. It won't be the seats. It won't be the pavement. You'll just be able to tell from them church folk. They got the mark. There's never a risk in missing out on anything, taking the mark. Can I close with this thought? Back at the house, there must be a wife and a couple small kids sitting around the table. I imagine she's saying to the kids, "Children, Daddy left this morning. And this is the day he has the right to his freedom. Let's pray, kids, that Daddy comes back home."
Yeah.
He doesn't have to. You see, kids, when Daddy first got here, he signed a 7-year contract. And it ends today. He came by himself, so if he leaves, he leaves without us. But don't y'all want him to stay? "Yes, Mommy, we want him to stay." Oh, I will imagine the scene when that door cracks open and Daddy says, "I'm back, y'all. The master told me I had the right to go. He showed me on paper where freedom was my choice. I didn't think 1 second about it. I told him, 'Put that paper away. I ain't going nowhere.' He said, 'Are you sure?' I'll tell him what I said. I'll tell you what I said. I love my master. I love my wife. I love my children. I will not go out free."
Amen.
You want to give up your marriage for a few moments of pornography? You want freedom? You want to give up your future for a few nights on the street? You want to give up your church leadership for a few stinking bottles of alcohol? You want to give up your testimony for a pipe or a cigarette? You want freedom that bad? I'm telling you, it ain't worth it. God give us some servants who will join the Exodus 21 bond servant in the year 2019 with freedom before you that will decline and say, "I choose faithfulness. I will not go out free." Our Father, we are so freedom hungry. There are pastors today who lost their ministry for a few moments of freedom. There's nobody in the building who's not tempted to be free. We better have something that has us serving you tonight that's bigger than a special service, a title, or reputation. Help us to remember we have an incredible master. Help us to have an intense motivation. And oh God, help us to take an identifying mark. With heads bowed and eyes closed, no one looking around, how many of you would say, "Preacher, I'll be honest with you. I don't want freedom. I want to be faithful. God has spoken to me tonight." Would you raise your hand all over the building? Come on, just be honest. Just be honest. In just a moment, however the pastor wants to proceed, if he wants to handle the invitation, he'll do whatever he wants. But in just a moment, if God spoke to you, would you come to the altar if God would lead you? And would you tell God maybe what you've already told him, but would you reiterate that tonight? "God, I don't want freedom. I want to be faithful. I love you, and I'll serve you forever." God bless the invitation in Jesus' name.
Amen. Let's stand together.